The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. To find out how to know God personally, go to knowgod.org, K-N-O-W, knowgod.org.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Share this message with someone who needs to hear it. Here's the thing we need to know about prayer. The objective of prayer is not to change God, it's to change you.
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us understand the purpose and principles of productive prayer.
Prayer is not to inform God, rather it's to invite God. I'm inviting Him into my life. I'm inviting Him into my challenges. I'm inviting Him into the things that I am dealing with. Prayer is getting closer to God. That's why you should pray.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Prayer is more than an intercom to heaven. Prayer is a lifeline to the God who holds our future in His hands. Prayer is asking the all-powerful God of heaven and earth to intervene. What's more, the Lord invites us to come to Him. In fact, He invites us to come to Him repeatedly and consistently. Could your prayers use more power? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie brings important biblical insight on prayer and shows us how to steward this privilege appropriately.
You know, we're all looking for certain things in life. Sort of like when I go to the market with my wife. My wife looks for certain things in a market and I look for other things. My wife looks for practical things like eggs and milk and butter and seasonings and the staples. And I look for, well, things that are important to me like chips, maybe pretzels. And fruit, man, I love summer fruit. How many of you love summer fruit? It's the best fruit. I mean, we've got peaches, we've got nectarines, we've got grapes, we've got cherries and watermelon. I love all the fruit of summer. So, you know, we'll meet at the check stand sometimes or texting back and forth. And then we get there and my wife will tell me, you don't need any of these things right now. So, but you know, we all have the things that are important to us, things that we're looking for. Well, listen to this. God is looking for some things too. What is God looking for? Well, number one, God is seeking lost people. In Luke 19, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And Jesus told the story of a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one of the sheep went astray and he searched until he found it. I mean, speaking of the market, have you ever been shopping and lost sight of one of your children? That's a terrifying thought. Now, you don't say, well, I've got three other kids. I'm good. I'll just forget them, you know. Some kids maybe. No, not really. Never. No, you search. You search frantically, obsessively until you find the child. That's how God feels. He loves all people. He wants all people to believe in Him. He's seeking people to believe. And when we share our faith, we're reflecting the heart of God. Number two, God is seeking true worshipers. Jesus said in John 4, God is a spirit and those that worship Him must do so in spirit and truth. Listen to this. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. So as we were just singing, God is looking for someone whose heart is turned toward Him, someone who really understands what worship is. Prayer set to song. And God is looking for us to be a true worshiper, not only in what we sing, but in how we live. Number three, God is seeking spiritual fruit. In Luke 13:7, we read of a farmer looking for fruit on his tree. And Jesus is looking for spiritual fruit, or another way to put it, results in our life. Tangible results that would show that we're really growing in our faith as one of His followers. Number four, God is looking for someone to stand in the gap. In Ezekiel 22:30, God says, I look for someone among them who would make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, and I should not destroy it, but I found no one. God is looking for people that care enough to pray, people that would pray for, well, our nation, that God would send an awakening to America, people that would pray for others. He's looking for people who will stand in the gap. And lastly, God is looking for intercessors. In Isaiah 59, 16, we read, he saw there was no man and wondered why there were no intercessors. God's looking for people to pray. And it's interesting, the word that is used there in Isaiah 59, 4, he wondered, could be translated astonished. In other words, God is astonished that people are not praying. Now let's just say, for the sake of an illustration, that praying was hard. Let's say that every time you uttered a prayer, it was like having a root canal. Well, you could see how that would cause you to not want to pray as often, but prayer is so awesome, you would still pray. You would just say, well, it's going to hurt, but it's worth it. But prayer is not like a root canal. Prayer is not painful, but yet many of us do not pray. Why is it we don't pray? Let me offer some possibilities, or what I should really say, excuses. Number one, we don't pray more because we say, well, I don't have the time, right? Well, I'm so busy, I just don't have the time. Okay, here's my question to you. How much time do you spend on social media? Latest research says people in the United States check their Facebook, Twitter, and other social media accounts 17 times per day, basically once every waking hour. Teenagers spend 9 hours every day consuming media. And it's so true. I mean, if you see someone driving erratically, they're not drunk. They're texting. Or they're looking at their Facebook page or their Instagram page. And people just walk around staring at their phones. I'm amazed when I'm sitting at an intersection and I see someone crossing like five lanes. And maybe it's their turn, but they're like this the whole time, just looking at their phone. I'm thinking, what if someone ran the red light? You'd get hit. People are crazy about this social media. You stand in line to get a cup of coffee, everyone just staring at their phone. In the old days, we used to talk to each other. Hi, how's it going? Now we're just like this the whole time, you know? So don't tell me you don't have time to pray. Hey, listen, what if you prayed as often as you check your Instagram or your Facebook page like 17 times a day? Well, someone put it this way, quote, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from a lack of time. So don't tell me you don't have time to pray. You do have time to pray. Number two, we don't pray more because, well, we don't think prayer is all that important. Now, we probably would never admit that, but it's the truth. But if that is true, if prayer is not important, then why would Jesus Christ have spent so much time in prayer? In fact, it was his prayer life that caused the disciples to come to him and say, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? You know, life's a lot easier when you pray about things. Because not only are you asking God to help you, but you're asking God for wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it generously and not hold it back. Listen, I need wisdom, don't you? There's a story of Jericho falling. Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land, and this massive city of Jericho stood before them, and God's battle plan was amazing. He said, okay, just march around and blow your trumpets, and then on the last day, give a shout and the walls will fall. Well, there were no swords, there were no spears, there were no shields, no weapons used. And they did what God said, and the walls of Jericho fell. Well, then after that, there was a much, much smaller city called Ai. Joshua didn't pray about that one. Oh, this is a piece of cake. Let's go take it. And they were soundly defeated. If they would have prayed about it, they would have seen it differently. So prayer really does matter. Number three, we think prayer sometimes doesn't really work. Yeah, I don't know if prayer really works, we'll say. Well, maybe that's because we're not praying God's way. And that's why we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. It shows us how to pray, how to bring your needs before God. And you have needs, I have needs. We have problems, we have questions. This is why we need to pray. Because prayer, among other things, is God's appointed way for us to obtain things. There are things you need in life, and God will provide them for you through prayer. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Maybe you wonder, why do I wander through life never knowing the will of God? Question, have you prayed about it? You have not because you ask not. Hey, why is it that I have this illness and I've gone to doctors and no one has been able to help me? Hey, have you prayed about it? Maybe you have not because you asked not. Why do I have this financial problem and I can't seem to get on top of it? I've tried everything. Have you actually prayed about it? You have not because you asked not. I think you know me well enough to realize that I'm not saying God will always heal you or God will always give you all the money you think you need, but I am saying that there's a place for asking the Lord to provide for our needs. And so pray.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
We hear from so many listeners who have found strength through Pastor Greg's ministry, and it often helps them in life's most difficult times.
Dear Pastor Greg, I was gifted your book, As It Is in Heaven, about 2 months ago from a friend. I couldn't put it down. At the beginning of this year, my brother and 10-year-old nephew died in a tragic house fire that took my grandparents' homestead to the ground in minutes before the firefighters could arrive. We went through 2.5 months with no answers until my poor father discovered my brother's remains in the rubble. Authorities believe my brother had been too close to the explosion and basically was made into dust. My brother had a propane tank in the house with a small heater keeping the pipes from freezing, and the tank exploded and took their lives with it. These last 3 months have been a nightmare, as you can imagine. I'm writing to say I believe it's mostly thanks to you and your book that I have been walking closer to Jesus than I ever have. And through discovering you, I've been able to be a solid rock of unwavering faith for my family and my parents. Since I've read your book, I have found your podcasts, and I listen every single night while doing my computer work and even when I'm driving. Up until now, I was a lukewarm Christian. I'd never fully read the Bible and wasn't thirsty to learn more. Your sermons on trials and suffering have brought me so much hope, more than I can really explain. You have changed my life for the best.
We're blessed to hear when Pastor Greg's message has helped, especially in a time of trial. Would you consider sharing your story with us? If so, call and leave us a message at 1-866-871-1144. 1-866-871-1144.
And now Pastor Greg gets very practical in today's study about the privilege of prayer. Let's continue.
Let's talk about how to pray, but before that, let's talk about how not to pray. That's what Jesus addresses in the verses that precede what we call the Lord's Prayer. Look at Matthew 6, starting in verse 5, and our Lord says this. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, or the non-believers, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. We'll stop there. Notice Jesus did not say, if you pray, or if you have time in your busy schedule and pray. No, he says, when you pray. He's assuming we understand the importance of prayer. But here's an insight that might surprise us, that sin knows no boundaries. You know, we think, oh, I get it, that, you know, I can sin when I go to this place or hang out with these people. But who would ever think that one could sin when they're coming into God's presence to pray? But Jesus is showing you can still be guilty of hypocrisy and self-centeredness. See, the primary problem of the Pharisees, used to with the religious elite, the leaders of the day, is for them, prayer was theater. It was a performance. You know, they would stand on a street corner. Sometimes someone would sound a trumpet, da, 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 and they would pray their great, beautiful, eloquent prayers. And Jesus said, you know what? God doesn't care about stuff like that. You're putting on a show. You're praying to be seen by men. You're so worried about impressing people. God's not impressed. Heard about a young lawyer that was opening up his brand new office, and His desk had just arrived and his chair had come as well. So he's sitting in his chair behind his executive desk and waiting for his first client to come in. And a man comes up the stairs and the lawyer sees him and picks up the phone and talks to his imaginary secretary. He says, yes, I'm so busy right now. Tell them to call back later. I have so many clients. I just don't have time. And he hangs up the phone. Sure, this would impress this guy. And then the guy walks up and the lawyer says, okay, how can I help you? And the man said, well, I'm from the phone company. I'm here to hook up your phone. Not so impressed. That's how it is for us when we're trying to impress God with the things that we say and do. See, here was the problem with the Pharisees. They had ritualized, memorized prayers that they would pray over and over. I'm not a big fan of memorized prayers. You know, sometimes parents will say to their children, okay, remember to say your prayers before you go to bed. No, better yet, teach them how to pray. I was with my grandchildren the other day and we were getting ready to eat, and we decided every kid should pray. So it was beautiful, you know, for every one of them had their own way to approach the Lord, and the older ones are a little more perceptive, and little Christopher, he's just a little guy. He actually said, I don't know how to pray. It was so cute, you know. So we're sort of teaching him how to pray, and he's figuring it out, and we're like that. You know, I don't really know how to pray, but, you know, some of the prayers we teach our kids, I mean, really, think about this prayer that has been prayed by children for so many years. Is this a good prayer to pray? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Really? So basically you're saying to your child, you know, you might die tonight in bed. And if you should die before you wake, just pray God takes your soul. Now go to sleep. Sleep tight. And don't let the bed bugs bite. Oh, that's great. Yeah. We're traumatizing our children. Who writes some of these things for kids? Rock-a-bye baby in the treetops. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. What? You put a cradle of a baby on the top of the trees? What are you, a psycho? When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall and down will come baby, cradle and all. Oh, you're brilliant. You put your baby in a cradle in the top of the trees and he's fallen to the ground. Oh, here's another one. Jack and Jill went up a hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown and Jill came tumbling after. So basically, Jack has had a serious head injury. But that's not enough. How about this one? Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye, 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. Who wants a pie filled with birds? Were they alive when you put them in the oven? Or were they dead? Either way, I don't want a pie full of birds, you know. But these crazy ritualized repeated prayers. Listen, God doesn't hear prayers like that. It's possible to pray with no thought of God whatsoever. Jesus told the story of two men that went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and he actually prayed this prayer. It's unbelievable. He said, God, I thank you I'm not like other men. He said, I don't commit adultery, I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I'm not nearly as bad as that tax collector over there. Poor tax collector. And Jesus said, do you want to know who God heard? He heard that other guy who simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen, you can pray without thinking of God, and you can worship without thinking of God. We've all done it. You know, you have your hands lifted, you're worshiping, and you're thinking, why would she wear that to church? Lord, I just preached. Why would she wear that to? And you're just, Lord, you're so good, and I'm going to go to In-N-Out Burger after this. I'm going to get a burger, animal style, with chopped jalapenos. See, these are probably my thoughts more than yours. But by the way, since I'm on that subject, when you go to In-N-Out, try the burger animal style with chopped jalapenos. You'll thank me for this. And sadly, this is all you'll remember from the sermon as well. Sometimes people use prayer as an opportunity to boast. You've seen it. You know, you have a little group of people praying and they'll pray, Lord, I thank you for all I've been able to do for you. As I was reading your word for 2 hours this morning, on my knees. I just rejoice in the 8 people I led to you. And stop it. You're just bragging in prayer. Sometimes people will use prayer as an opportunity to gossip. Lord, we pray for Jim, who's having an affair on his wife. Oh, Lord, I just realized his wife's here in the little prayer circle. Oh, Lord, comfort her. Gossiping in prayer. Sometimes we pray to impress. You've heard of dressing to impress. You can pray to impress. We thank thee, great and wonderful God, for thou hast blessed us. Why are you doing that? Are you trying to impress people? What about people that pray, when you're out in public and someone says, let's pray for the food, and they have to make a show. It's a performance. They pray really loud and long. Stop with the long prayers when the food has come, okay? Let's not pray for everybody everywhere. Let's just, Lord, thank you for the food. Let's eat our food. But prayer can be a strange thing for a lot of people. But here's something you need to understand. Why do we pray? Well, Jesus says in verse 8, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Oh, well, if that's the case, then why pray? If I can't change mine, why pray? I've heard people say, I've been wrestling with God in prayer. Man, I hope you lost. I'd hate to see what would happen if God did what you want him to do. So here's the thing we need to know about prayer. God knows what you need before you pray. So the objective of prayer is not to change God, it's to change you. You're not telling God something he's not aware of. Prayer is not to inform God, rather it's to invite God. I'm inviting him into my life. I'm inviting him into my challenges. I'm inviting him into the things that I am dealing with. Think of prayer as a conversation between a father and a child. The value of prayer is it keeps me in touch with God. Prayer is getting closer to God. That's why you should pray.
Great insights on prayer today on A New Beginning from Pastor Greg Laurie's practical series based on the Lord's Prayer. And there's much more yet to come as this study continues. But for a permanent copy of the full presentation, mention the title How To and How Not to Pray when you call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, we're making available a great book from a familiar friend. It's Jeremy Camp's book called I Still Believe.
Yes.
And the movie by the same title is just about to come out, but the book tells so much more of his story, doesn't it?
It really does. And it's such an amazing story, Dave. It just is so powerful and compelling. And I'll tell you what, people are going to love this film. I think this is the finest work the Irwin brothers have done to date, and they've done some pretty fine work with films like Woodlawn, I Can Only Imagine, and now I Still Believe. If you come out of that theater without shedding a tear, you might have something wrong with you. But it's a powerful story of faith. It's a beautiful love story. But there's a lot of hardship that a very young Jeremy Camp had to deal with when he found out that his new bride, Melissa, had her cancer return.
It was that whole just in denial, like, there's no way. There's no way I'm hearing this right now. We just got married. What does that mean? And I finally broke down, and I walked into the room. As I walked in, she saw that I'd been crying, and I looked at her and I started crying again. And I just was, like, crying. I was like, we're going to keep praying. We're going to fight this. We're not, you know what I mean? There's no way. And so the fight began.
It's something that will connect to so many people, because I know there are folks in our audience that are suffering right now. Some are suffering actually with cancer because we hear from you, and others know someone that's dealing with cancer, or you have illness, or you have hardship, and you're wondering, why is this happening? And here's what we know. In the end, we really do live happily ever after, because it's not a fairy tale. It's the hope of the Christian that puts their faith in Christ. But this book that we're offering right now, written by Jeremy Camp, called I Still Believe, is going to be a book that will touch everyone, both young and old. But I would especially say to you folks that have children and grandchildren, you might want to give a copy to them because it's a beautiful love story and it shows how God worked even in the midst of tragedy.
And we're happy to send this book and all the help it provides to thank you for your partnership with us in this outreach. We especially thank our Harvest partners who were so faithful in their giving. Pastor Greg, if you would, say a word or two to our Harvest partners about how much their support means to us and actually how it impacts the level of ministry that we're able to provide.
Sure. Well, let me explain what a Harvest partner is, first of all, for those that have not heard that phrase before. A Harvest partner is just somebody that has made a commitment to contribute to us on a regular basis. And because of their faithful giving, we can actually plan for the future. Because they've given to us, we can consider new opportunities, like going into what is called a new market, a new area with our radio broadcast. And, you know, you listen to this program. Maybe you listen all the time. Maybe you're a first-time listener. I don't know. But if you're a regular listener to A New Beginning, if this radio broadcast is of help to you and it's been of help to others, would you consider becoming a partner? Become one of those folks that help us to bring this message to our nation and indeed to our world. And then you share also in the fruit of what we're doing, the spiritual fruit of people that are coming to Christ. You know, A New Beginning is one of the few radio programs out there in Christian radio where an invitation is extended. And folks, we've had thousands of people respond and accept Christ when we invite them to ask the Lord to come into their life. And you've even heard me lead folks in that prayer. Maybe you've been in a car with a non-believer present, or I've gotten to that moment, and you know that we're giving people the opportunity to pass from darkness to light, from the eternal destination of hell to heaven. And we believe this is important, and we know you believe it as well. So would you join us as a partner and help us get the gospel to more people and teach the word of God to more people as well? Thank you in advance for whatever you can do.
Yeah, and we want to thank you tangibly for becoming a Harvest partner by sending you Jeremy Camp's book, I Still Believe. So get in touch today by writing A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Well, there's a lot more to learn about effective prayer, and we'll pick up that subject again next time as Pastor Greg continues his message, How To and How Not to Pray. Be sure to join us here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.